The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is all part of the uniform. They tried including me on it. They bought me this stupid shirt.
Derek, 5 minutes. Now that's a great looking shirt. Hi, Captain. Yeah. See, I'm glad I ironed it. It's perfect. Look at it. It's fantastic.
With, you know where your upper chest is?
Yeah.
With the goofy cowboy flowers. I'm like, no, I'm wearing my uniform.
Kramer, how am I going to wear this? I can't wear this.
Hey, this looks better than anything you own. You know, in 2 months' time, everybody's going to be wearing the pirate look.
Which consists of shorts, Gabe, some type of pullover like you're wearing there, and sneakers. That's my uniform. I ain't dressing up like a gooner.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Well, Gabe, did the Masters answer all your prayers, solve all your problems?
I mean, I don't know if it solved problems,
but dreams.
It was an enjoyable afternoon. Joshy came over, kicked it up. Josh got to see the new house, hang out with the new dog. You know,
terrible.
Kick back and enjoy, a nice little Sunday afternoon of golf.
Horrible.
You're horrible.
Boring.
You're boring.
How about a personality from someone else?
How about you get a personality?
Liv should be embarrassed. They took the money and ran. Your guy Tiger broke the record and then folded the tents.
Yeah, his back kind of stiffened up. Turns out.
Oh yeah, sure.
Turns out when you're more fused than human,
you know what?
Playing
though?
Four rounds of golf isn't really in your future.
That record's kind of bush.
What do you mean?
He WD'd last year.
He made the cut.
Last year?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He made the cut and then WD'd.
Oh, okay, sorry, I take that back. No, I didn't think it was great at all. I thought it was very boring. Homa choked. Morikawa choked. Scheffler is hands down the best.
Yep.
So why isn't that enough?
It's just boring. Give me a personality.
Well, so you're mad that Scheffler doesn't have a personality? You just said he's hands down the best, which he demonstrated on the back nine for sure, which is when he pulled away. I said to you, I really liked the Oberg kid story. By the way, Ludwig. Making a comeback. That name.
Yeah, but he's not
you
from
think?
America.
There's one guy.
One guy.
Yeah, but he's not a 24-year-old golf phenom.
Not from this country.
I'm just saying, you're going to see some Ludwigs. Well, you're going to see some.
I think if you already go to Europe and go to that part of the continent, you're probably going to find some Ludwigs already.
Is Ludwig like John? Over there.
I doubt it's like John, but I don't think it's...
Because John is John over there, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least in like...
Yeah, still pretty, you know, John, Matthew, the strong biblical names still exist.
I like the circle over the A. Now, that's probably the coolest thing about him.
Well, then you pronounce it like O, right? That's what I learned.
Yes.
A little circle thing over the A means it's an O, not an A.
Why don't they just put an O there then?
Because it's a different, again...
Character, letter?
Well, no, we're just getting into, Chewy not understanding. Despite wanting history to be everything and travel the world to be everything...
Yes.
Not understanding why other countries and other cultures do things differently.
He's our how do you not know history guy. What do we got going on with the power rankings?
Most popular names in Sweden. Liam, William, Noah, Hugo, Oliver, Lucas, Niles, Mateo, Walter, and August.
No, Ludwig.
Mateo?
Mateo.
I like Mateo.
That's right now, not in history. That's ever or right now, 2024.
Right now. Right now, the most popular names. This list was created in 2023.
Yeesh.
I'm taking August.
You like the name August, do you?
Yeah.
Ludwig 15th.
Ah, so it's not that far off the
pace. It's hanging there. If they have a good couple of big victories, they can find their way inside
the
top 10.
I'm telling you, the more success that kid has, the more Ludwigs you're going to see over in Sweden. Anyway, I thought his story was great. And no, he wasn't able to maintain the push and maintain the pressure on the winner, Scottie Scheffler, in the back nine. But I still enjoyed it.
He's the personality Chewy's looking for. He was smiling the whole time.
Yeah. The whole time.
He was having a good time.
What happened when he got the bar knocked out of his hand and you would have thought that anybody else would have been like, going to need that? And he was like, nope, everything's gravy. Everything's good here.
Probably why he couldn't keep pace, didn't have the energy.
Oh,
I tell you who's annoying is Tyrell Hatton, Gabe.
Oh,
I can't even watch that guy.
I said that guy sucks.
He's bridge
troll. He whines about every little thing.
Bridge troll?
Yeah, little guy. Under the bridge, mad at everything, yelling at everyone. Yelling at the golf
course. My riddles three.
Yeah. Screw that guy.
You know, things of that nature.
Oh, every time he putts a ball, he whines like a baby.
So that is personality. I just want to be clear. Like, you're saying no personality. That's a personality. It's kind of Patrick Reed-esque, right, when you talk about being on the other side of the spectrum of just kind of like not a very likable personality. But it is a personality, Chew. It sounds like you're doing the old beggars can't be choosers thing.
No, it's just, he's annoying.
He does this every year, though.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Underwhelmed.
Well, do you agree the Liv guy should be embarrassed?
I mean,
DeChambeau finished.
Do you feel shame when you have that much money?
There's a guilt. There should be a guilt.
Is right? there? I don't know.
You're paid that much money because you're good. Who was the highest scoring Liv?
I just said that.
Bryson.
And he tied for sixth.
And Fleetwood?
Cameron
no,
Smith,
Fleetwood's
you said?
Cam.
That's
right. And DeChambeau?
Mm-hmm.
There it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but keep going. All right, Schauffele is PGA.
Yep.
Zalatoris?
PGA.
I'm not saying Hatton. Cam Young?
Well, Hatton is Liv.
But he's not giving him that. Not even going to give him that distinction. You're not even allowed to play the game.
Yeah, Cam Young is PGA.
But like Koepka and Johnson, where were these guys? Rahm.
What did you want from the Masters?
I wanted heavy hitters. I wanted Tiger in the mix up there.
Okay, well, that wasn't going to happen.
Johnson,
you got literally the heaviest hitter.
I wanted Vijay Singh when golf used to be great.
See, he does this every year, Jen.
Yep.
He does it every single year. He pretends
Davis
he's
Love.
Not excited, then he gets excited. I don't even know if Davis Love is alive. Like,
you know that he is. That's a good pop, though.
But he says he's not excited, then he gets excited, then he watches, like, oh, this sucks. Because, yes, because Ernie Els is not in contention anymore, because Ernie is the same age as Chu.
It seems like anything short of a playoff to end the Masters is going to be a disappointment for Chu.
Is that fair to say?
Even if it ended in a playoff, I think you would bitch about it the next day.
Yeah, but they choked, Gabe.
They 100%.
Choked. When you're in the biggest game of your career and you choke, that's horrible.
Who choked?
Ludwig, Homa, Morikawa.
Homa and Colin. They were slapping the ball around everywhere.
I mean, they kind of golfed what the course gave them. It's just Scotty was
so good. Yeah, I did not think, guys, and I know you're going to say that they dropped a couple of strokes here and there late, especially on the back nine. I didn't think that was choke. I thought that was Augusta. And that Scotty just played consistently and played, you know, he even had a couple, he landed in the sand on one late in back nine, I remember. But by the way, that's sand. Can we just take 1 minute? I know it's not really sand, but wow, is it gorgeous.
It's sand.
It's sand.
It's ground up quartz.
What? The quartz didn't look that great either.
What? All right, now I know you're drunk.
The greens were a little brown, weren't they, Chew?
You sent us a picture of your wine glass. That was what, one of eight, one of nine? Middle of six? What?
Right,
you
got
to be drunk this morning to try to tell me or convince us that the course at Augusta didn't look good.
I mean, the fairways were beautiful, but there were some spots where the mowing wasn't great.
Chewy's angling for a job to be the head greenskeeper at Augusta National. That's what he's trying to do right now.
Could use some Milorganite in places.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe, Dario was telling me some rule about the flowers. If you hit the flowers, it's an automatic drop or something like that because they don't want anybody over there.
No, I mean, it's like a penalty. So Max Homa ended up there, had to take a drop. That wasn't a free drop. That was a penalty stroke that he took with that. A lot of places will give you a free drop, but when you hit tournament golf.
They don't want them hitting out of the flowers or something like that.
But
even if you've got a decent-ish lie over there, it's pretty generous as far as where it is a drop versus you can hit from.
No, I mean, if you end up in the flowers and you can hit it, you can hit it. Oh. I mean, maybe it's a local rule when you're playing there, you know, with a member or whatever, but yeah, I've never.
For the Masters? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was an interesting little conversation we were having yesterday. So, Chu, you just want to complain about everything today, or are you going to leave it just to the Masters?
Well, I mean, it's a Monday.
We could talk about the Bucks for a long time.
I do want to ask about your weekend. Did you wear the shirt?
No.
You gave up drinking forever except for that one time yesterday?
Just on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Okay.
Back on it. Back on it.
I tell you what, Nashville, I tell you, that was one of the best cities I've been to in a long time. Because you know me, I always like to look to the negative. We couldn't find
especially on a Monday.
There's no negative. The Ubers were the cleanest ever. The people are the nicest. It's a fun place. I could see why a lot of people live there.
And there are a lot of people living there. I believe Nashville is one of those cities that is outgrowing its infrastructure. And they're like, please stop moving here.
We're good.
We need more roads. Yeah. Need more money for the bridges and whatnot. One of the things that I saw pop up yesterday morning was that Scottie Scheffler's wife, who they talked about on the broadcast as well, especially as it became apparent he was going to win the green jacket again, she's 3 weeks from her due date.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on the record saying that if she went into labor yesterday, no matter where he was on the leaderboard, he was planning on leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman that I was with yesterday watching the Masters got together with some friends of ours, both cried bull, you know what.
Yes.
They said, I'm sure that's nice, all well and good to say, but if he's on 16, for instance.
Yeah, with a 4-shot lead. Like, he's not just deuces. Also,
that's what they said as well.
I mean, it's not like she was there. So he would have had to hop on a PJ, get back to Texas. By the time he actually got there, he could have missed the whole thing anyway. So, yes. Also, you're not allowed to have your phone out on the golf course. So you're not able to, you know, so somebody would have had to run out, give him the message after she got a hold of somebody. Who knows if she gets a hold of somebody. Yeah, it's one of those things that I think you say and it sounds good to your wife. But also, I mean, it's a cool story with, hey, the day you were born, I won a green jacket.
Joshy, was that your reaction as well? That he was, good to say, but in reality, practicality, it probably wasn't going to happen.
I think he withdraws if she goes into labor Saturday night and he gets the message, gets time. He's already got one. I know it's prestigious to win two. But with the way he's playing, he thinks, I can get back here and
just
win
so
one.
You know, when you said he's already got one, my brain first thought you meant kid. And I was he doesn't
yeah.
have it.
That's what makes
but you
it
were talking about
priority.
The green jacket.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, to me, I think he would.
But, I mean, he might have if it would have happened on, like, Saturday night.
Yeah.
But also, have you ever asked your dad if he was there when you were born?
That's
what Angie said. It's like, kid ain't going to remember anyways. What's
well, yeah, and
deal?
Plus it's never a conversation. Like, my dad is fantastic. I love my dad. He's great dad. At no point have I ever kicked back and go, hey, dad, the day I was born.
I think it's for the woman. The pregnant woman.
Was I there? Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's for his wife.
She would have been fine. You know what else would have eased the pain? The $3.5 million check.
And Chu, you are famously tit for tat guy.
Yes.
This to me feels like one that you can hold over your spouse's head forever.
For bringing $3.6 million into the household?
No,
that's being held against it?
I'm just saying, as you're making the decision, you're trying to tell me that you're not thinking, if I'm not there, as Joshy, you know, let us know, it's for the wife. Does she then say, you know, you weren't there that day, take out the trash?
Here's the 3.6 mil.
Yeah,
hire somebody else to take out the trash.
The first thing Andy said is, no way in hell would I let you miss the Masters for a kid. Which I thought was kind of opposite of what she was going to say. So it kind of threw me for a loop.
Look at her keeping you on your toes. Yeah. Look at that. Romance
isn't dead after
all. Let
me ask you this, though. Is he too nice?
Scotty?
No.
He's like
no,
Gabe.
No.
Gabe.
Stop. There's no such thing as too nice.
I think there is.
Yeah, there's too nice.
Yeah,
no, there isn't.
Nice.
And first of all, not that I really have a lot of expertise in this area, okay? No one's ever saying, you know who's too nice? Jen.
You're not having... Well, yeah, no one says it about me, but I'm saying it about all the people all the time. They've got plenty of people I'm saying that about.
I don't think you can be too nice. You think you could be too nice? What's too nice? Driving you to the airport and such, Chew?
Are we talking about Gabe here? He's standing right there.
Yeah,
Gabe,
I mean,
too nice.
If you want to find your own rides at the airport, bud, just say so.
I think Gabe's got a little fire in his belly.
Okay.
Gabe?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm gonna help people when I can. Speaking of which, text CARES 800-990-3776. Still time to donate for the Mac Fund. $25 gets you one entry. $50 gets you three entries into our drawing for pizza for a year, courtesy of our friends at Screaming Sicilian.
And I know that was opportunistic, but that was a little too nice. Like, we're having a great conversation. Yeah. You throw in a little mention of the Mac Fund, and again, I get it.
It's good to know. It's good to know where you stand.
That you're not too nice. Maybe you hold off on the Mac Fund thing until next segment.
It's good to know that Jen doesn't want you to donate. Jen is anti-donating for the kids. We got people getting tattoos, meeting with consultants today.
Remind the friends and family what happened last year.
What do you mean what happened last year?
Didn't you run the marathon because we raised enough money to get you?
I mean, I don't know how much you did.
What do you mean, how much I did? You want me to pull up the ledger of how much I did?
Yes, I would love you to do that. And I would love you to do the same again this year.
Hold on.
I'm not sure that I could do that in this moment. Give me a little bit of time. I'm sure I can find that receipt.
Who's getting the tattoo?
Me.
Are you getting?
I've got a consultation today at 2:15 with a tattoo artist that I've reached out to. And I'm getting a Scalzone Brust themed tattoo of the no longer existing RP show. It is Grateful Dead theme with Scalzone Brust in it, and then I'm literally getting a portrait of Homer. A cartoonized version of Homer that says "Oh baby" on it.
Now, I just felt like we were cheated on right there.
Well, I mean, in fairness,
he's getting tattoos of other shows and art. What the hell?
These were bought and paid for over a year ago. When he was still producing for Scalzo and Brust, Homer gave him $1,000 if he would get a Homer tattoo. He's finally paying up from things that happened over a year
ago.
I had to negotiate
getting other people to pay for the tattoos. It just took me a year.
800-990-3776. Is Scotty Scheffler too nice? Chewy asks us this morning. I'm not even sure what too nice for Scotty Scheffler is, because he doesn't get feisty on the course, because he doesn't, you know, like Zach Johnson, tell people to F off. Like, what exactly are we talking about here?
Can we talk about that apology as well? And I guess if you have it on video, maybe I did. I guess I am sorry for saying it. I'm not sure if I said it, though.
Like DeChambeau and Koepka, when they were, that was wonderful. It was great.
Oh, when they were having their little feud?
Yes.
That kind of got lame, though.
Yeah, it got lame pretty lame pretty quick, because then they realized they could try to make money off of it.
Yeah.
And it became pretty disingenuous pretty fast.
I don't know. There's no bad guy. There's no Colin Montgomery. There's no guy that you just can't stand.
I mean, didn't like Reed.
Or Hatton.
Bryson's the bad guy.
Hey, we need to go to break here.
you just listed off all the guys you hated 5 minutes ago.
I know. I miss Nashville.
So the Masters was a raging success, it sounds like.
Yes. Good time. Two thumbs up from me.
David weighing in on the YouTube page. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube and weigh in with your comments. He says, Gabe is the perfect amount of nice. He's nice enough to drive you to the airport, but he has enough spine to argue with you the whole way there.
That's true.
Isn't that just passive aggressive? Isn't that what that is?
Nah, I think it's
good. Healthy debate.
800-990-3776. We will continue the show. We got a lot to get to today. We want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, who clunked their way into the postseason with a loss yesterday. Ended up with the 3 seed. They will play the Pacers. Don't have a great track record against the Pacers. We will talk about that, plus what the optimism is around Giannis getting back for the series. Packers draft, the draft, coming up very quickly, coming up on us very quickly. We want to talk about the biggest, Joshy, what was the way you phrased that? Steals?
Yes.
Steals
biggest
of the draft
steals.
So we will get to that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on this morning.
X-Golf American Family Field is the place you want to be. And if you want to be sitting there and get a unique view of the game, the great news this year with X-Golf at AmFam Field during game days is you can purchase tickets and sim time all in one easy location. Whenever you buy your tickets at Brewers.com, in there, there's going to be an option to get sim time so you can be hitting golf balls and watching the Brew Crew all at the same time. Maybe you want to go during an off day, get around in, work on your game, see all the different things that the simulators can do for you. Well, if you're playing a round of golf at X Golf at American Family Field and you make an ace, you make a one, you dunk it on a par 3 during a regulation round, not during one of their little side contests or their beat the pro contest that they do during the season, you and someone else are going to get to go down Bernie's slide. That's right. That means you can go down that famous Bernie slide right outside of X Golf at American Family Field if you make a hole-in-one at X Golf AmFam Field. XGolfAmFamField.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. Aria is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artfully dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity. It delights in its offering of artisanal American cuisine, and it transcends tradition, leaning into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. Come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. Chewy has been ranting about his disappointment in the Masters. I got to tell you, I think my disappointment, any that I might have been willing to, you know, work up this weekend, would have been directed at the Milwaukee Bucks, who clunked their way into the playoffs, finished the regular season, losing yesterday. You guys, the way that they lost, you guys were talking this morning, felt a little like it was on purpose. Felt a little like we do not care. We do not want to be the two seed. We would prefer to play the Pacers if that's how it all shook out. Because, by the way, 15 of the 20 playoff spots were up for grabs yesterday when all the teams were in action. Like, the Celtics had locked up their spot, and I don't even think the one seed in the West was locked
up. No, because they had a three-way tie going into yesterday in the West.
So everything else was just like these moving pieces, musical chairs, if you will. And the Bucks, with the loss, ended up with the three seed, and they will play the Pacers. What part of you thought, what part of you made you question whether or not they were okay losing that game, Gabe?
Well, it was more the second half. They kind of waved the white flag in the second half. After Dame went 1-for-11 in the first half, I think they just kind of, all right, well, maybe we'll give it one last push here. They kind of did. Chris had a good little run there to start the early third quarter, but then the Magic pushed back, and I think they're just, okay, we're going to take everybody off here. We're going to wave the white flag. We already have Giannis injured. Let's not get anybody else injured heading into the postseason. We'll deal with whatever matchup we get with.
I mean, I can't believe they've lost 33 games this year. When's the last time they lost that many games in a season? I just don't even know how to feel about the season. Like, I don't even have a Seinfeld scale right now. I'm just anticipating maybe lose to Indiana, but lose in the next round, which opens up a lot of questions.
The last time they lost this many games, they lost 38 in the 17-18 season. They did lose 31 the year after they won the championship.
And before we even turn our attention to the Pacers and the way that series has gone this season between those two teams, is there any part of you, and I know that you keep saying, regular season doesn't matter. The regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the playoffs. It's all about what you do in the postseason. Is there any part of you, Gabe, that is disappointed in the way this regular season went?
Sure, but I think it's more about how they were beat up. It's more about how they didn't get the right guy at the beginning of the season with Adrian Griffin and just how disorganized they were then. I mean, every week it was Giannis or Dame or somebody going, hey, we got to figure out what we're doing here. What defense do you want us to play? What do you want us to do? And then when Doc gets there, then you see the Dame comments of Doc, you know, Dame's like, yeah, when Doc came, he's like, hey, how come you're not running this offensive set? I hated guarding that against you when I was coaching against you. We should do this. And it just seemed like they weren't doing anything that was productive at all under Adrian Griffin, despite having that good record. So it's kind of taken some time to undo those bad habits. Then they've had the injury issues throughout the second half of the season. So I think the disappointment goes all the way back to getting the wrong guy in Adrian Griffin at the beginning of the season, which has kind of put them in a chase mode since then.
Oh, so you're not of the belief that it's possible he wasn't the wrong guy? Because I've seen that narrative out there, that maybe Adrian Griffin got a raw deal, that maybe, if you're going to give Doc Rivers all this time to gel the team and figure things out? Why didn't Adrian Griffin get that same luxury when he got the gig?
Because you got to tell your team what defense to play. You got to know, have some sort of clue offensively. You can't be yelling, you tell the story, Jen, after he got fired. You can't be yelling at assistant coaches who walk in front of you. You can't piss off the guy that's supposed to be there to help you because he's got head coaching experience and he quits before the season begins. Like, I'm not saying Doc is the answer, but I know for sure Adrian Griffin was not.
But that to me is more of a personality thing than a coaching thing. You know, I always am reminded of when Tom Crean got to Marquette. And so we're going to go in the Wayback Machine here for a moment. Tom Crean was super, super intense. There are stories that I know about being inside that program where you would go, huh? What was he doing? No, I don't like that. No, I don't think that that's how we want to be handling it, you know, doing the things. And he learned as he continued as a head coach in college basketball, what he could do, what he couldn't do, what worked and what didn't work. And I can't help but wonder if Adrian Griffin, it was his first time coaching, he needed a little more of a runway to figure out some of those things. The pressure of being a head coach in the league, of one of the top teams in the league with the most expectations in the league, was probably a lot to deal with. And I'm not trying to make excuses for Adrian Griffin. All I'm saying is you bring Doc Rivers in thinking it's going to, quote unquote, flip the switch. My gosh, put that on a t-shirt, right? Like, bucks and six and flip the switch, because we've talked about flipping the switch an awful lot this season. It just feels like that wasn't the answer either. I don't know if what Doc Rivers has done in the second half of this season plus feels any better than what Adrian Griffin was doing in the first.
They're playing a lot better defense, I'll tell you that. They at least know what they're doing defensively. He at least is holding those guys to some sort of expectation, which is why you see Malik Beasley now coming off the bench and Pat Bev starting in games over the past week. Like, they have a direction defensively. They did not have that under Adrian Griffin. Like, it didn't seem like he was coaching, period. Like, Chewy, it'd be like in the NFL, you have an offensive coordinator who's supposed to be calling the plays, and let's say you don't have a lot of really good wide receivers, but you have a really good running back, and he just keeps calling four wide and wants to just air it out. Like, no, like, let's give us the right, some direction, give us the right direction.
But you sound like you're resigned to the fact that they're not winning the championship.
Oh, no.
That's what it sounds like listening to you.
But I've been all season long of, I don't know if they're winning the championship this year anyway. I don't know if it's championship or bust this year because it takes time to meld.
When they hired Adrian Griffin, didn't we think the Bucks were the best team of the league and then a little gap when they got Dame?
Yeah.
Expectations were sky high. Now they're like, I am expecting them to lose to Indiana. That's where I'm at right now. Indiana has their number. They play them tough. They beat them. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, but again, they beat them back in, you know, if that was the thought,
I know,
you know what
I
I'm
know.
Saying? Like, that's like saying, well, if the Packers would have played the Lions in the NFC Championship game, they probably wouldn't have beat them because the Lions handled them way back early in the season.
Well, like,
the
how last time these, are you?
The last
you think
time
they're
these
win
two
the
teams,
series?
Yes, I think they're going to beat the Pacers. The Pacers haven't been playing well since the All-Star break. Like, Tyrese Halliburton is scoring less, is being less efficient. Like,
whoa, he was the one. Who, are you assuming Giannis is in the series or out of the series?
I am assuming Giannis is in the series.
Okay, so if Giannis does not play in the series, do they still beat the Pacers?
They should still beat the Pacers.
And this
the
is
expectation
crazy.
Should still Chewy, the expectation should be you should be able to still beat the Pacers.
Even without Giannis.
Even without Giannis.
Even though you lost to them 4 out of 5 times during the regular season, and they are the top scoring offense in the league, averaging 123 points per game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because you have a better defense than that now than when you did back in January. The defense is better.
So they score 117 points per game. Or
yeah,
they
and
score,
they don't. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and guess what? The Pacers give up. Like 119.
And the Bucks are averaging 119 points, if I read that correctly. They're fourth in the league.
And that's mixing
offense.
In good defenses. The Bucks should score, even without Giannis, 120. They should be right around that 120.
But Giannis,
well, we'll see, because the NBA is like officiating the game differently now, too,
right,
which also factors
look,
in.
We are going to continue this conversation. We got to keep it rolling here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. I do not feel confident, which stinks. I hate going into the postseason with the Milwaukee Bucks and not feeling confident. And it is twofold. Partially because I don't know the status of Giannis, but also I don't love the matchup. I don't love that the Pacers have had the Bucks numbers this year, even if, as Gabe says, the last time these two teams played was in January. I don't love that Giannis had to have Superman-esque efforts in those games. And oh, by the way, they still lost most of them. But we will continue this. How are you feeling this morning, Bucks fans, about the draw and about the Bucks' likelihood of winning that series against the Pacers? 800-990-3776, taking your reaction all morning long.
The last time these two teams played, the Packers hadn't clinched a playoff berth. That's how long ago it was that these two teams played.
Yeah, it was January 1st, January 3rd, rather. Yes. They played on the 1st and the 3rd.
So it's been a long time. That's all I'm saying. The Bucks begin their quest for an NBA championship. We're giving you an opportunity to be there. Listen to our show for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 Sunday at Fiserv Forum. Your first chance to win is going to be later this week. Don't miss out on all of the electrifying action, heart-stopping moments, and intense drama that is Milwaukee Bucks playoff basketball. Go to Bucks.com/playoffs for more info and tune in this week for your chance to win a pair of Bucks first round playoff tickets to Game 1. The Bucks playoffs are presented by BMO.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think is a pretty good deal. Right. Which gets me in trouble. Life.
You got a Viagra ring?
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Pottawatomie Casino Hotel is opening its bigger, better, and bolder state-of-the-art sportsbook venue. That's right, in just a few weeks. The first week of May, actually, it's a 2,000-square-foot video wall, luxury seating for more than 200 people, expanded food menu, and you guys are going to love this. There will be a broadcast booth there, which means that Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and more of our ESPN Milwaukee shows will be there pretty regularly. The all-new Pottawatomie Sportsbook venue is going to be a sports fan paradise. Mark your calendars for the grand opening the first week of May when sports betting in Milwaukee becomes like nothing you have seen before. Pottawatomie Sportsbook, a new era of sports betting. Speaking of Pottawatomie, Joshy, we were looking this morning to see if you wanted to place a wager on your Milwaukee Bucks in this series against the Pacers. You getting pretty good odds there?
The Milwaukee Bucks are minus 225 to win the series, making the Pacers plus 180.
So the answer is no, you're not. The answer is do not bet on the Bucks, right, Gabe?
Well, I mean, if you want to make money, yeah, just then you bet on the Bucks.
Is it free money, Gabe?
Not free money.
No money's free.
Except for the Scottie Scheffler money you decided to leave on the table this weekend.
Yeah. Bozo. That was disappointing in you.
I talked about it all week to Gabe.
He told him all week. Starting on like Tuesday, he's like, I got to get to Pato. Scottie's like 4-1. I feel like those are pretty good odds. He's going to be in the mix at the end. And Joshy was just too lazy to get to Pato.
Mm-hmm. Let me read some of the reaction rolling in on the Milwaukee Bucks. Bill weighing in on the YouTube page saying, on the Bucks, stick a fork in them. Jeff weighing in saying, the Milwaukee Bucks are dead men walking. The NBA is about managing personality, says Justin, compared to coaching. People put way too much on the actual coaching in the NBA. They also went from the easiest strength of schedule under Griff to the hardest under Doc Rivers. That completely flipped. So there is a lot of reaction rolling in. Dave even saying, I'm not hopeful about the Bucks in the playoffs, but I'd rather play Indy because we know what they are. You know what they are, but again, you have not had success against them this season.
But you also know who they are because you could be sitting there right now not knowing who you're playing if you were the 1 or 2 seed. So you can start putting together a game plan. Again, it's not a team that they faced with Doc as the head coach. I feel good about whatever defensive game plan they're going to put out there for Game 1. I mean, so and you were there, Jen. Like, you were there before Giannis. That first half against the Celtics was as much fun as you could have watching basketball. Fiserv Forum was electric. The Bucks played fantastic basketball. That's in there.
And I thought
that
they
exists.
Were playing really well in the first quarter of yesterday's game as well. Alas, you play 4. Like, what happened yesterday? Was that just malaise? Was that just senioritis? All of a sudden, it's like, final game of the regular season. We're probably going to be the 3 seed. Maybe we'll be the 2 seed. But also, I was reading, it might have been the Athletic article. Maybe it was a different one, Forbes or something. They could have been the 4 seed.
Yeah, they could have dropped all the way to 4 yesterday.
Would you have been better with that? Is that a better matchup? You like that better?
I'd rather play the Magic, yeah. But I also wouldn't want to then play Boston in the second round.
So what happens if they do lose? You can't roll it back again. This is 2 exits in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, what do you do?
I don't know what they do, Chew. It's not like they have a roster full of just talent that they're able to ship off. They're not going to fire Doc because Doc took advantage, rightfully so, by the way. Like, I'm not faulting him. But they gave him a big money four-year deal because they were desperate. They needed somebody to come in. So now he's got that contract. You're already paying Adrian Griffin and Mike Budenholzer not to coach the team. They're not going to be paying four coaches next year.
Yeah, I'm not saying Doc. I'm saying, do we move on from Lopez and Middleton?
You got to find someone to take him.
I mean,
you just get
Middleton. Hold on, Gabe. Is Middleton worth a max contract?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I texted this to you guys last night. I think y'all were sleeping when I texted it. Chew. Chris Middleton is now number two in all time Bucks games played, behind Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is there a guy in this? What did I say? In Bucks franchise history, actually,
no,
in
just
the state,
Wisconsin.
Is there a more dismissed or underappreciated dude in Milwaukee sports history than Chris Middleton?
You could say Wisconsin sports.
The guy's going to have 22 in the rafters at the end of the day. Like, 22 is going to be hanging up there because
of Chris.
What
have you done for me lately? Come on.
What do you mean? What do you want from him?
I thought they would have two championships by now. After they won it, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a nice ride here. This is going to be fun. 3-5. 2-5.
Still have a chance for 2-5 this year and next year if they get a 2-5.
How far? Positive, Gabe.
I'm just telling you what the math is.
We already said his toaddom jumped.
How far
from Green Bay?
It did.
Yeah, big time toad ribbit. How far?
You can't go to Pado. You can't hit a button now either.
Ribbit. How far are we from having the Aaron Rodgers conversation about Giannis?
What do you mean?
The didn't win enough. Great player. All-time great, legendary, maybe the greatest ever on the team, isn't winning enough.
How old is he?
29.
I don't know.
It feels like it's getting close. Not,
it feels like it is, kind of.
You know what
I'm worried about? I'm worried about him saying, hey, I tried. It's for whatever reason, it's not working.
Yeah,
out.
And I think,
Jude,
that's
else.
Always in the back of people's minds mm-hmm. here, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not willing to say yet what Joshy is proposing, but I don't think that it's that far fetched to have it out there in the distance, to have it on the horizon of like, hey, that's why, Gabe, you saying and you seemingly being okay with this year not being the year. Again, we have joked about it. We have talked about it. You have basically said you don't think this is the year that they win the title. But next year, you feel like is looking better.
Mm-hmm.
Even right there, resigning yourself to the fact that things are not going to shake out the way that most of us want it to shake out this year is doing that thing. It's taking this year basically out of the possibilities, and then shrinking that window by a year.
No, but also what I'm doing is, I mean, because again, I keep going back to the LeBron example. LeBron went to Miami. They didn't win it all. Like, when you get two top 75 players of all time and you put them together, it takes time for that to come together. And Dame's been in and out. He's been dealing with personal issues.
Add into it the personal situation that he's been dealing with, which has affected him certainly.
Exactly. So that makes things more difficult. And then you're trying to meld with your new teammates. You have a coaching change. All these different things that happen. Like, it takes, and that just makes it even harder for everybody to come together and be on the same page. Like, so I wasn't championship or bust this year. I wasn't saying, oh, they got no chance this year. But also, it was more about appreciation. I've been very consistent on this, Drew, of, hey, it's probably going to take some time for these guys to come together. I'm very excited for this. But it's, yes, the next year is when it becomes the championship or bust. That's when you probably start making those huge changes. I wanted to leave some wiggle room for a little bit of patience here. And using the, oh, if it doesn't work out, you ship off Dame, ship off all these guys. I think you had to have a little bit of patience there.
Yeah, but you said a reason why they have not been very good this year is injuries. The older guys get, they get injured more. So is it time to start going younger with this team?
If you could, they would have. Like, there's just, you got to hit on some of these draft picks, which are few and far between, because you've used a lot of them to trade for Drew Holiday. You used a lot of them to trade for Damian Lillard. So it's just kind of tough for this team to fully hit that reset button and actually get younger, because this is what mortgaging the future for a championship looks like. you're trying to navigate the back end of it with some older guys. And
how much blame does Horse get?
Probably not as much as he should, to be honest with you.
But does he get blamed for bringing Adrian Griffin in?
Yeah,
because that was a train wreck.
Yes, he gets blamed for that. But also, like, I don't blame him for bringing back Brooke and Chris.
But also, weren't we giving Horst credit for moving on from Griffin when he did, rather than trying to ride it out and see? At the time, it was like, I mean, I remember saying, like, look, you talk about Ron Wolf, err quickly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you make a mistake, move on from it fast. So you give yourself time to recover. So does that even out? I mean, I knew it was going to happen, man. The most pressure in the playoffs, according to Greeny, up top on the TV, on GetUp right now, Doc Rivers number two. I actually thought Giannis Antetokounmpo was going to be number one, but maybe considering his health right now, they aren't putting him up there. Heck, number one hasn't been unveiled yet. Maybe it will be number one.
No, it's going to be somebody from the Celtics, because the Celtics don't have a championship. Giannis has one.
Celtics are number one. Most pressure in the playoffs, according to Greeny, the Celtics, and then Doc Rivers.
Because they don't have any excuses this year.
Then,
like,
Kevin Durant. I want to ask you this, Gabe, when we come back, because we do need to get a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do the Bucks have an issue adjusting? Because, again, I said yesterday they came out looking good, right? Running good sets, making good plays, boom, boom, boom. Giannis isn't there, but wow, this team looks like it is gelled. It has figured some stuff out. But then the Magic make a few adjustments. Bucks don't adjust to the adjustments. Now they're looking clunky. Is that an issue that we need to worry about with this team? Don't answer it right now. We'll talk about that when we come back on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look at Inside the Brandon Jennings Story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Seed in the East. Yesterday, 15 of the 20 spots were still up for grabs in the NBA playoff picture. Bucks lose, they get the 3 seed. Almost got the 4 seed, were it not for a fortuitous finish in another game. But Justin weighing in saying, listening to all this Bucks talk today, you'd think they'd already lost in the playoffs. Who gets the blame? For what, a 3 seed? They won the title from a 3 seed, he says. Can we at least pause the blame game until they actually lose? Not saying it's got to be all positive, but goodness gracious.
Thank you.
Chef Edwin.
Good to know I've got somebody who is on my side.
The Bucks will be an early out if Dame can't find his shot. He has struggled with his shooting all season long. And Ronnie saying, I feel okay about the Bucks headed into the playoffs only because my expectations are so low based on the dumpster fire this season has been. For the first time in five years. Yeah.
Well, you've got an ally in Jen.
This person agrees with
you. Has been just crapping all over the Bucks.
I want to be very... No. This is not crapping on the Bucks. This is saying I have been wildly disappointed in the regular season, but you guys keep telling me the regular season doesn't matter. So what should I be optimistic about going forward?
I told you what to be optimistic about. You were there. You know how good this team can be.
One game, Gabe. One time. Like, famously, that's not how the playoffs work. That's not how series work.
But if you know, that's how good they can be.
But again, I go back to yesterday's game. I watched the first quarter as well. They look phenomenal. They look like world beaters. This is a team that is absolutely going to make a deep run in the playoffs. And then the Magic made adjustments. And the Bucks did not adjust back. And that's what I asked you headed into the break. What is the deal with the adjustments?
I mean, that's a bud thing that I think is kind of lingering over. We'll see how good they are at adjustments in the postseason. Because at this point, I don't think they were going to do anything yesterday where they were just going to roll the balls out, they were going to play, and it was going to go however it went. And then it went very poorly, especially in the second half. I think Doc is better at making adjustments than Mike Budenholzer was. Bud was very much, which is, again, very different than under Adrian Griffin. It was very easy to understand what was expected from you, from your head coach under Mike Budenholzer, because he was This is our stuff. This is how we run our stuff. We're not going to adjust from our stuff. If somebody beats us with our stuff, tip of the cap to them. And Doc's not going to be like that. I think Doc is going to make those adjustments. We'll have to wait and see what he does in the postseason.
So they're playing a team that they played five times this year, lost four times, and you want me to feel good. You want me to feel, you want to go, well, that's Adrian Griffin. You want me to say regular season doesn't matter. You want me to feel good. I can't feel good.
Well, but I'm not asking you to feel good, but I'm also not asking. I'm with the texter in, before we talk about blowing this up, let's actually wait to see how this plays out. Before we start blaming somebody for how it didn't work out, let's wait to make sure it didn't work out. Because Damian Lillard was brought in here for starting on Sunday. That's the reason why he was brought here. He wasn't brought here for the first 82. He was brought in here for the playoffs. When you need a bucket, when teams are playing tough physical defense against you, and you need a bucket in the final 5 minutes of a fourth quarter of a tight game, that's what Damian Lillard was brought in here for. Now, if he doesn't come through, then we can start talking about why didn't Dame work in Milwaukee this year. But I think we have to wait to have those conversations until they actually fail instead of expecting them to fail.
I'll give you that time, but I brought brass polish back in whenever they signed them, and now I don't know if I can return it because I was shining the trophy. I was shining the trophy.
You were trying
now
to think of other jokes you could make
now I'm stuck with brass polish that I have no use for, Gabe.
Well, I mean, I bet you could find a different use.
Just, can we confirm, is the Larry O'Brien made out of brass?
I don't think so. Maybe? Oh, it's all right.
Josh?
Feels more like a trophy. Silver, but I could be wrong. Again, maybe it is brass.
Sterling silver and vermeil.
Vermeil.
With a 24-karat gold overlay.
Oh, there it is. Sterling silver, gold overlay.
What's vermeil? Other than Dick Vermeil.
You just wanted to say that on the show, didn't you?
And get away with it.
Yeah, exactly, because that's fair game. Again, I mentioned it earlier. They lost 4 out of 5 to the Pacers, albeit, look, I could do the thing where I go back and forth, angel and devil. I got one guy talking over here, and I got one guy talking over here. And if you're watching on the YouTube page, I'm talking about on the left shoulder and on the right shoulder. And on one hand, I've got somebody saying they lost 4 out of 5 to the Pacers. The other side saying, yeah, but that was all pre-January 20. What was the date that Doc Rivers
26.
Came in? 26, right? Because the last game against the Pacers was on January 3rd. Right, on the other shoulder, it's saying, yes, but Giannis averaged 42 points in those games. And then it's saying, and he's currently injured. We don't know what his health will be. There is a good possibility it will not be 100%. In one of the games, in fact, Gabe, I believe in the only game they beat the Pacers, he scored 64. Is Giannis going to have to go out there, Chew, and score 64 a night to ensure a victory over the Indiana Pacers? I certainly hope not. I think that's asking a lot from Giannis on any given night, let alone over and over and over and over again, coming off of a soleus, which thank you for teaching me that word, Giannis. I didn't know it before you had the injury. So that's where the angst is coming from. That's why I say it's not crapping on the Bucks. It's looking at the history. It's looking at the current, and it's saying, whew, I don't know. It's not feeling great. Certainly don't feel as good as I have in the past with the Bucks headed into the postseason. Felt better about them last year. They let me down. Let everybody down. Let themselves down. But this year, I don't feel as confident going into the postseason. And I feel like that's fair.
Swear to God, Jen, if you go to Pato,
I'm not going to bet on the Bucks. I'm not going to bet on anything for the postseason.
And you start looking at that plus 180. See, I know you, though. You're going to be sitting here throughout the course of the week. You're going, you know what, that plus 180.
No, because I would rather they win the series. I'm not even interested in feeding my wallet right now. I just want them to win the damn series. And I'm not sure they can. And I don't think that's crazy talk. I don't think it's crapping on the Bucks.
Where's Joshy getting the tattoo?
Where did that come from?
What?
I don't know.
Where else?
I'm just picturing it on his back.
I'm just getting them on my arms.
You said arms.
Well, he's got
two tattoos?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and a third one got sold, but that one still we haven't determined the full length of it, so I'm starting with the two, and we'll work on the third one in the future.
No, you know that phrase, rent-free in your brain? How much are you charging for space on your body?
$1,000 to cure childhood cancer or try and cure childhood
Holy
cancer.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Who's ponying up the dough?
So we have Homer has ponied up the dough once.
Yeah. Two people from Aaron, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was about to say, one's Tony from Aaron.
And then Dave from Aaron.
Dave from Aaron, yes. So, I mean, I don't know if they're working at the golf course and everything's just, the money is flowing in little Aaron, Wisconsin, but they are, you know, they're A, buying space on Josh's body, and B, helping the fight against childhood cancer.
Turn off the television. I'm staring at GetUp this morning. We just talked about Greeny's Greenlist, who has the most pressure in the playoffs. Now Tim Legler is saying the team most likely to be bounced early from the playoffs is the Milwaukee Bucks. Turn it off. Turn it off. I can't handle any more of this morning. We got to get to the Green Bay Packers. Lots to talk about as they get ready for the draft. I believe players are reporting to, what is it, off-season workouts today?
Yeah, workouts.
Off-season workouts for your Green Bay Packers.
Stretching, sprinting, weightlifting, things of that nature.